Hey everybody, it's me, Bonnie, the host of the Grieving Girl podcast. And today we have my special friend from Instagram who found we found each other in 2021, I believe. Michal, who you probably know from some of the Instagram stories at this point, Instagram lives, all of it. But we wanted to get her on the podcast today. So welcome, Michal.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, queen. So I don't really know where your episode's actually gonna fall in line of the series. So I'm just gonna recap for everyone at the beginning of each episode so we know what we're dishing out this season. So as all grievers know, I feel like holidays are very hard in terms of even anticipatory grief of like you know what might hit you as it comes, which causes anxiety, day of anxiety, triggers, all that stuff kind of happens, at least not for everyone. For me personally, between like October and January, I'm like, can this be done? Because it's over yet. So I just thought as they're coming up or actively happening, that it might just be helpful to share stories and share about our holidays that we either really enjoy because they make us remember our people or, you know, things that might not feel so great, why, and like how you get through them. So let's first, I guess, have you share who you're grieving, what your circumstances are, and go ahead and share with the group.
Well, hi everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having me, Bonnie. I'm very excited to be here. So I'll share a little bit about my losses. I am grieving both my parents, my dad's 3-year death anniversary, however we call it, will be coming up actually in like a few days. So that's really great timing. And my mom's 5 years will be in March. So yeah, March. So that'll be at 5. So 5 years and 3 years. I was basically, living at home. My mom had cancer. She died when I was 22. And then right after she died, my dad got COVID, and we don't really know what it is, but it was kind of like COVID related causes somehow. And he basically died from that like a year and a half later. So at that point, I was 23. I moved out of the house. We were actually renting, so it wasn't like our house. So that was gone. We kind of couldn't really keep that. And I moved out. And yeah, that's kind of what happened. Just been kind of grieving publicly, very publicly. I started writing a lot. I started a writing group, which is where I met you. You were the one of the first ones to join, which is really, really great. How it's grown since then. But yeah, I just kind of started joining this like grief community online where I'm just very open about my grief. I love to talk about it, and I love to meet other people who also love talking about it, and that's where we are right now. So
Yes, I said earlier today, vulnerability is my superpower. And I feel like you also have that superpower. Maybe that's a griever superpower. It's like people see you at your very worst moments, like so publicly anyway, like even during like the services. Like it's like a public showing. So I feel like once you've done that, you're like, what's the internet? Who cares? Beep, boop, boop.
Like once the worst has happened to me, the way I think about it is, life has been so bad at times. Like I'm not as scared anymore of being vulnerable. Like what's the worst that can happen? My parents already died. I've lost more people. Like more people are dying. Like it's just a lot of loss. And so I'm not so scared of being open and showing my vulnerabilities, because at the end of the day, like we all have them. Some people are just more private about it. So I'm like, I'll be the face of embarrassment for you to feel connected. Like that's fine.
Yeah, like right. Well, again, like what do I have to lose? Like
Yeah,
feel like you've
literally.
lost it all. So, you know, it's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like I feel like your story is, you know, my we've talked about this before, but for anybody who doesn't really know, like my parents are very spread out. I can't even imagine what it is like to lose both parents in such a short amount of time. Also, in such a high stress period of life that was happening to the collective,
For
like
sure.
the COVID times. It's just like, and then, yeah, I didn't even really think about that with your house of like we were renting, so like we couldn't just like hold on to it until we were ready.
Yeah.
Like
The whole
that's
thing was like so stressful because he literally died under 2 years, and then we had to kind of within 3 months after his death, I had to, because all my siblings were away, and people are spread out all over the country. And so me, my sister that lived in New York, had to physically go take everything out of the house. I was the one that was a little more like close it off sometimes, so I was able to just take shit and throw it out, because there was like things in that house from 45 years, and I'm like, I have to get rid of it. So either someone's taking it or someone's not taking it. And at the time, I didn't have storage. I didn't have a house. Like, I didn't know where to put things. And so I had to throw them out, which is sad to say. But it was a lot of trauma. Within 3 months, the house was empty. And that was it. We're gone. Band-aid, rip it off, basically. That's what happens. So it was a lot, honestly. The more I think about it now, as I like continue kind of reflecting and like talking about grief and thinking about it, I'm like, damn, that was rough. That was a rough time.
Yeah, it's funny you're saying that. I'm like, wow, this is making me think about like my experience. And I don't know why. I guess because we didn't want to keep paying my mom's mortgage. Like she died in July and we had sold that house by the next February, March. And that felt fast, and that was 6-ish months. And that felt insane. Like my sister was driving down every weekend. I mean, we probably would have done maybe even faster had I not been at a show, but she was driving down every weekend. And yeah, you also get to that point where you just like hit a wall and you're like, something's gotta go. And now you're probably like, did I throw that thing out? I hope I didn't throw that
I
out. But like,
know. I wish I had it now. And it's like now I have space and now I have a house. And like, oh my God, I wish I had my mom's armchair. But what
yeah.
was I going to do with a, rusty armchair that was broken at the seams? And I was living in like a railroad apartment in Brooklyn. I think it was like 600 square feet. It was literally a box. And I could not fit an armchair there. And so it went to the garbage, like all
Yeah.
the many things I would have loved to have. Or, but then it's like, oh, you can keep it in storage, but like what? It's almost 5 years later. I would have kept it for 5 years. And I'm like, it's just not, it's not practical. So a
Yeah.
lot of trauma to think about.
Yeah, it's it's all of the things that happen that we're just
Yeah,
like, yeah, that all
whatever.
ha it literally all happened. Okay, so it's actually really interesting. I'm gonna have four parentless millennial, I think, yeah, all millennial or like, yeah, women on the season, which I think is, I'm finding parentless friends of our age group, and that is quotes nice question mark. So
Interesting.
what do you feel? I'd also like love for you to share a little bit about your religion and kind of like how this all plays into your holiday. And like, how do you feel about the holidays? I guess we'll just like start with the basic question.
So, I already told you I can chat about this for whenever, as long. So at any point, feel free to be like, hey, let's redirect. But yeah, the holidays are really hard, especially in my religion. There's a lot of freaking holidays. Some of them are very like close together, and then there's like a break, and then there's another one. There's also like every single weekend. It's called, Shabbat or the Sabbath for those who don't know. And it's like a little mini holiday, I would say. It's like imagine a Thanksgiving every single Friday from, sunset until Saturday at sundown. So like literally it's long. And it's every week. So kind of getting thrown into the world of, orphanhood and having to experience all of these holidays, it's rough. So I'll talk a little more about it. The holidays, okay, so my mother actually died on one of the happiest holidays in the Jewish calendar. It's a little relevant, I feel like, to what's coming up. I know Halloween is coming up this week. I compare it to like the Jewish Halloween because we dress up. That's the only thing that's similar. Like, there's obviously no similarities. I don't even know the basis of Halloween. But Purim it's all about history, what happened to us and Persia and all that. Anyways, essentially, it's like the happiest day, a lot of family gathering, a lot of drinking. You give charity to the poor, you give gifts, you eat good food, all the fun stuff. Anyways, so my mom died literally as that holiday was coming in. Like, the holiday was starting and she died. So that was like the first thing that was insane because that was our favorite holiday growing up, and now it's her deathversary. So that is a hard one. And honestly, every single year it's truly different. I have to say, some years I am very into like celebrating and being happy because she would have wanted us to be happy, and you're meant to be happy, and and really try my hardest to like dress up and go with it and all that. But last year, I had such a hard time. And again, like it was the fourth year she died. And so I've had other years where she was dead, you know, and we still celebrated it and it was right. fine. But this is just to show you how like grief is so not linear, because I was so fine the year before. And then last year, it was just really, really horrible. I was having a very hard time. I wanted my mother back. I didn't want to have to do the holiday. I moved out of my community. I got married. I was in a new community. I didn't really have my place. Everyone goes home for this like big meal, kind of like the Thanksgiving meal. So like we go home for this meal and, you know, I wish I could just go home to my meal, which obviously I didn't have, because I didn't have my home yet. I didn't have my parents anymore. And so I literally cried like all night. And that's the night where everyone just kind of goes and parties. It's like a very fun night. You get dressed up again, like Halloween, you know, you go party. Who has the cutest costume?
Yeah. I truly had no clue there was a Jewish Halloween yeah. Thanksgiving. That it sounds like fun.
It's kind of like all the holidays are like mini Thanksgivings, I would say, but because we're always eating, like we have a lot of food to commemorate all the fun stuff of us like surviving throughout history. But yeah, I literally stayed in my apartment, and my husband was out the day before. We were at this like big meal with friends, and so because it was on a Saturday, so anyways, he was, I think, like drunk and sleeping, honestly. I think he was just like passed out from the day. And so I literally was like, I felt him staying a little alone in that moment. And I just was crying, honestly. I think for like 4 hours, I just like cried. And that was that. And I went to bed. And then the next day, because the holiday is always like a night and a day. That's how it works in our holidays. So for the next day, I felt so much better. Like I really felt so much better. Because I sobbed so much. I really accepted the pain I was in, the grief I was in. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to go out and pretend to be happy in a party where everyone, you know, we're all going through different things. But like, I truly did not want to be happy that time. And I didn't want like to pretend to be happy. So I let myself really cry. And then like the next day, I really did feel like, okay, it's a new day. And yes, it's still her death anniversary, but like, you know, I had the sad moment. I cried. I was in pain. And today I'm feeling better. And so let me actually go and celebrate and see what I can do. And I did. I went to a fun party. I went to my sister who hosted a meal. And it was great. And like the rest of the day was fine. And I had both of those feelings in one holiday. So it was like, you know, the night was bad and the day was good.
Right.
So yeah, that was like that. You know, that's kind of how that holiday was. And there's so many. And so honestly, like I take each holiday as it comes and I'm very aware now. Like I think in early grief, it was very hard to figure out what should I do? How should yeah. I feel? Like, should I cry? Should I not? Should I try and be festive even though I don't want to? And it was very much like, what are you supposed to do? And what's the right way to grieve? And I don't want to be a sour sport. Everyone's so happy in the holiday, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? And what I'm learning is honestly just to give yourself the space to do exactly what feels right in that moment. And like every holiday could be different. So like this past holiday, it's called Sukkot, and it's kind of, you might see it if you live in like New York or like heavily populated Jewish neighborhoods. It's kind of these like outdoor huts on people's porches. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh
yeah.
I don't know if I have.
So if you go to like a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, you'll see like a little hut on a porch. That's the best way to describe it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long holiday. It's like 8 days, and you sit outside, and like some people even sleep outside, but you basically eat inside this hut with your family. And again, it's one of the like most joyous holidays, and just so much like joy and celebration, and just like one of my favorite, like this was my favorite holiday growing up. Like this was the best. And of course, my father died in the month of this holiday. So, yeah, that's a really hard one also. And so figuring out what to do, like this year, I decided that I really wanted to go to them. And we spoke about this a little bit before, but I felt like I kind of feel their presence a bit at their cemeteries. And so I really wanted to go to the cemetery because I don't live there anymore. I live in Florida and they're buried in New York. And I can't just drive over. And so I decided to really make the effort to like go to New York, spend the last, you know, few days of the holiday in New York and go to the cemetery and really like, you know, talk to my parents and, kind of just give them updates of how life has been, because I haven't updated them, I feel like, in a while. And so that was a holiday where I chose to kind of like celebrate it as it is and go full force and, you know, go to the synagogue because it reminds me of them and it really connected me to them. And like, it happened to be that it was great. Like, thank God it really was. And I was doing well. And of course it's hard, but I was able to enjoy the holiday and appreciate it. And obviously, like, you know, you go to the synagogue and it's a big one where there's a lot of like fathers dancing around in the synagogue with their children. And, you know, you see everyone walking with their families to the synagogue. It's a big family holiday, like very family oriented. And I'm sitting there and, you know, no mother, no father. So it was hard, but I also kind of was just letting myself like bask in the memories and enjoy doing what like reminds me of them.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like people would try to like if you were like, guys, I'm not coming tonight. I'm feeling like I just need to feel like, and I don't want to pretend to be happy, so I'm not going to come. Do you ever feel like you got any pushback, or do you feel like you have pretty supportive people who were just kind of like, yeah, we'll miss you? Or do you like remember how that kind of went?
I'm thinking, like, I know for the last one that I told you about with Purim, for my mom's holiday, like, there was a very big party at a local synagogue that my husband and all of our friends were going, and they were so excited about it, and they talked about it for a few days. And that was the night that I just had such a hard time. And I just straight up was like, it's not happening. Like, I'm not going. There's no way. Like, I'm not going to a party. I'm not dressing up for a party, pretending to be happy. Like, I really can't do it. And, you know, he was like, of course, like 100%, you know. So thank God, like, I think I do have, you know, very supportive people in my life where I've never been kind of like, come on, let's go out. So, yeah, I can't really speak to that. But I've also always been like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. So even if people are like, come on, I'm like, no, I'd rather stay in bed and cry than pretend anything. So I'm kind of a loner sometimes like that. So like, I don't care.
No, I think it's important for people to hear of like, it's not really about you and your party that you want to go to, right? Like, it's more like support the person who's saying freely, like, it's not happening. It's my mom's anniversary. I'm not feeling it. And what was helpful was like, yeah, like, of course. Even if you were like, I'm literally not going. No one's forcing me to go. Right. It's just like, it removes agitation, I think, against the like, oh, come on, she'd want you to. When you're like, but I'm feeling a certain way and I just need everyone to like, allow me to feel that because I'm going to go feel that, which will in turn make tomorrow a better day.
Yeah.
Instead of like now being forced to go somewhere and then it carrying into the next day, because now I'm also like just annoyed at people.
Exactly. And like so much, I think of what I've learned from grief is independence and, you know, the value of being independent, like in your grief, because you really have to be your own advocate for how you're feeling, how you want to be feeling, and, you know, surrounding yourself with good energy and people that are there to support you in your grief. And you really have to be strong and independent in your grief, because people might not realize that 20 years later, you still don't want to go to this party because it's your mom's, you know, death anniversary. Oh, it's 20 years ago. Why does it matter? No, you might still be like, well, I still don't have a mother and this sucks. And this is bringing up a lot of bad feelings and I want to stay home. And, you know, you might always, and like even supportive people that you have around you right now might not be there in a few years. Like, you don't know where you're going to be in what environment. So something I've learned is at the end of the day, you literally truly have yourself, and you need to really be so strong with your own like independence and emotions that I'm okay to be alone, even if it's FOMO, you know, I'm missing out, everyone's going out. This is what I need. My grief is telling me, stay home, cry, watch a sad movie, give yourself this space to feel me, you know, the grief is talking to yourself. Even if it's not like the most fun thing to do, no matter what anyone's saying, like, you really have to just lean into yourself and be your own advocate and be your own best friend.
I love that. You got to be independent in your grief. Mm-hmm. It's so true, because, you know, and I think this is why the conversation is so important. And so, you know, once you experience it, it's kind of not easy to have, but for me, like, I could talk about grief all day, just like you. But It is. It's like it is such an individual journey, and like some people might be like, "Oh no, I got to be around people," or "I don't know what's, you know, how I'm gonna feel." Whereas some people are like, "No, I like literally need to cry. I will
Yeah.
come find you,"
And
and
some
like,
people need that. Like, you know, some
yeah.
people don't want to think about it, or they don't have to. And everyone has their own thing. There's no like right way. Like, yeah, some people are totally fine on those days and it doesn't affect them and they're just going to keep going on and the past is the past. And that's like totally valid if whoever's
Right.
listening, that's you out there. That's
Right. That's the
fine.
thing. It's like there really is no, there's no correct way. So like if you're the person who's like, I'm gonna keep trucking, more power to you. I'm not gonna be like, but don't you wanna cry? No one
Right?
ever asks that question.
Yeah.
It's never the reverse. Don't you wanna be sad? Do
Yes.
you have any ways? Wait, one, I want to ask, what is the significance of the hut?
The
Yes. Like it obviously has to mean something or relate to something.
testing my religious knowledge. It's so embarrassing if I don't
Okay,
know.
but it
But
could be
there's
like for dummies, because like
a lot
I,
of
you know.
there really is a lot of I think there's probably like a ton of different, you know, versions or interpretations, but essentially, like honestly, every single holiday that we have in the Jewish world is reflective of a literal time in history of something that, you know, the Jewish people have tried to have overcome or have survived after someone's trying to kill them. You know, different wars, like always just kind of it's a reflecting real events. It's not just like making up stuff. So there's like kind of two things. The more I think spiritual, cute way of looking at it that we're taught when we're young is that the hut represents this like hug from God. I just want to get very cute and emotional. So it's meant to be like a very, you know, warm embrace that he's hugging you and he's protecting you and he loves you and, you know, all that fun stuff. And then there's also like, I think the more real interpretation, which I please don't tell me if this is wrong. That'd be so bad. But I feel like it's something to do with the Jews traveling in, was it in the desert? And they had to build these like huts. Oh my gosh. I think it was like when the Jews were traveling before they got the Torah. Because in that holiday, it's called Simchat Torah. And we're basically celebrating like the Torah, which is kind of like the Jewish Bible. It's like the Bible. So I think it was like as we were like traveling in like the desert and, you know, God protected us and there were his huts. And I don't know. I need to do my research. I should have done my
You're
research.
like, oh
But
sh you're
I'm
like,
embarrassed.
no, I mean, makes sense to me. We
I
love a
need
warm hug from God.
to
We love that version.
I go with the hug one because that's the one that I like, but I'm literally like Googling it. Look at it. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But yeah. It's a fest. Oh, it's the Feast of, I'm saying this wrong, Tabernacles or Feast of Booths? Yeah, this is what. Okay, so it's basically, I totally said the wrong thing. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals in which the Israelites were commanded to make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. So basically, the Jews would go to Jerusalem and Israel. And on their way, it was like this big pilgrimage. And so this is like reflecting that time. And yeah, I don't know.
See, you
Something
got it
about
right.
it's a harvest festival commemoration of leaving Egypt. You know, there's a lot of history events that we're reflecting here. One thing like leads on the other. So,
Yeah.
anyways, moving on.
But your gist was, the gist was correct. You got
Just
it.
is great.
You tested your knowledge and you did
We
get it. Okay.
love going.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing.
Are there any ways that you like try to like, what am I saying? Are there ways that you honor your parents in those holidays? Like, do you like, I know you cook a lot of your mom's recipes, which like I'm dying to taste something. I look at all the recipes, I see you making them, I'm like, it all looks delicious.
It honestly
I
is.
don't know if you like bake for specific holidays because like your whole family loves this one specific thing, or if there's like something you do or don't do, if you're like, that's too hard, we don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's honestly like a lot. I mean, there's few specific holidays. Like, there's some kind of even, I would say, religious like commandments to do in the holiday. And one, a few of them is like one, we light a candle. It's called like a, you know, memorial candle, let's say. And it lasts for like 3 days,
Oh,
right? From when
wow.
candles. And so there's certain holidays where you light one, like we just did it now for the holiday. You light one for each person that you lost. So, for example, I lit two, and that was for my parents. And it's called like a ner neshama, which means soul. They have the whole concept of a flame is like a soul. I'm not going to get into it, but
I love that. I'm like, wait, I want to do this.
There's a lot of spiritual things, but we like
candles. I always say I'm a Jew in my soul, I think. Like, I was raised Catholic, but I'm like, there's so many things I hear about. I'm like, that's beautiful. Like,
they are. Like,
I love the spiritual aspects of.
They are, and I'm very thankful that we have these things like embedded in the religion. So it's like you're kind of forced to do it. Like, oh, did everyone get a candle for mommy last night? So like, yeah, that's one thing. Another thing is to go to synagogue and you say this prayer. It's called Yizkor, and it literally means like remembrance. And we're commanded to go to the synagogue and say this prayer on behalf of our mother or our father who died. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to like, you're asking God to remember them, to remember their soul. And also you're pledging like charity on their behalf so that their soul will go higher and higher, you know, to the elevated levels. And that's like four times a year. So that's in four different holidays. So those are like commandments where you must, you know, you go and you have to, you're being forced to remember your dead parents and you're being forced to honor them, which is beautiful.
Could you imagine being forced? I'm like, but like, guys, I don't stop thinking about them. You're like, I get it. Thanks for making me go. But also, I know, like, it's every day.
Exactly. It is. But, you know, it is kind of interesting. Like, you go to a synagogue and at that point, like during that prayer, everyone who has parents like leaves. And so it's just you. Yeah. And whoever's there, and like you look around and you're like, oh, you're part of the club.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So people leave and it's like,
exactly. And it's, oh, just, God. It's actually really, I shouldn't be laughing. It's really sad. And like,
you know, it sounds pretty like heart wrenching actually to be like sitting there and being like, oh my God, there's five of us or something.
No. And sometimes you see these like little kids.
Yeah.
And
that's heartbreaking.
No, it's really depressing. Honestly, the first few years I cried like every time I was there. It was really sad.
I feel that, and I have never done it. And I'm like, oh my God, it would be a basket case. I would be nuts. It's
emotional. You literally have to say this prayer. You have to say their name. You know, you say their like mother's name, and you say that you're giving charity on their behalf. And like, that's the other beautiful thing is like, yeah, you should go and do this, but I think it's beautiful that it's in a way of you're honoring them and you're remembering that, you know, they still exist. Their souls are still with us and we're remembering them and we're telling God, you also remember them. Like, don't forget, you know, take care of my parents up there. So it's cute. So that's like the little religious stuff. But the other stuff, yeah, there's every holiday has its own like traditional food that we make. And so that's another way, like, you know, Purim, when my mother died, she made these traditional, they're called hamantaschen. And they're like these triangles. I don't know if you've seen them. And there's like a triangle of dough, and inside the dough is like jelly or jam, something like that. And she made them, like she died on that holiday. She made them like 2 weeks before she died, and she froze them so that when she died, we were literally eating her like freaking pastries. It was insane.
So you would have them.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Maybe she knew she was dying. I mean, she didn't know she was dying, but I don't think she knew she was dying in like a week.
Sure.
But so that's like something she made. And so like on that holiday, you know, we'll make those and like, we'll use her recipes and, or like some like this past holiday, she would always make the best like stuffed cabbage. And so that's her recipe that I will make on this holiday, only like once a year, you know, just to like remember her. So a lot of it is cooking with my mother because she cooked and she baked. So like I bake her challah, you know, I bake her challah like every week, every holiday, her soup, like her chicken soup. I really keep her with me through baking and cooking her recipes, as many as I remember, because unfortunately she didn't write all of them down. And there's some that I really don't know. And I wish I knew. And I'm like, Mom, how do you make this? And what did you do? And like, I don't know exactly how she did it.
Yeah. So, that's so fair. My mom had this one thing that I feel like she really did like cook enough. And I'm like, Ma, yes. It was like roast beef. It was like nothing fancy. It was, but she's like, well, when you smell it, it's done. And I'm like, that's not, right? If she wrote it down, I still would be like, I don't know what that means. When you smell it, it's done.
So hard to know, like how the measurement, like I went to ask her something and she's like, you know, a shake of this and a shake of that and a shake of that. And I was like, what is a shake?
You're like, my shake is not your shake.
No, you can't, you try your best, try your best, but that's kind of what I do. Honestly, it's just like, yeah, baking, cooking. Light the candles, pray.
I love the candle idea. I'm like, wait, can I get one that's like, I would just want it. I love the idea. I'm like, I think I'm going to get a holiday candle that lasts 3 days. Don't tell, I'm like, don't tell my landlord. but I will let it
know.
burn.
I'm like, do they sell those at all the stores? Like, is that a Jewish thing to buy 72-hour candles? Because we are buying them out. You know, all the Jews are buying them
Where do you get one?
in the Jewish stores. I
I'll be
wonder
like, hey
if
guys, it's me.
it might be like a Jewish company. I don't know. I never thought about that.
I'll look online. There's got to be something online. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's even in itself sounds like a holiday, just like the candle and the having to go and then go through the prayer. I'm like, ooh, that's emotional. Like we've talked about this, whereas like you kind of, really lean in. I've kind of like ran away from all that because it makes me feel so emotional. So I can't even imagine like just going into church and hearing like on the organ. I'm like, gotta go. So let alone like having to say a specific prayer for my parents and then sit there with just the other like orphan people. I'd be like, I gotta get out of here.
No, it's
But
really, it's rough. It is.
yeah, it does also sound beautiful. And I like that your religion really does like they do it up when it comes to grief.
They don't let you
Like,
forget.
yeah. And I think that that's good because I think it's easy to kind of like move through life and almost forget that like, but people are going to die. Right? So it almost like keeps you in check of like, don't forget you're only here for a little while. So like, be here with your people, honor your people. And the more you honor your people, I feel like it keeps you in check of like, this is so morbid, but like someone is next. So like live your life. Like,
No, for sure. And like there's so many laws that have to do with death. And it's just like this awareness, okay, so when you die, this is what happens, and you have to do this, and there's the funeral process. Like so much of what we do is like there's a place for that in the Bible that tells us what to do for when someone dies. And like that's the law, right? Like you have to bury them right away and you can't wait, and then you sit for 7 days, and then there's 30 days, and there's such a big space for it in the religion that you can't really escape it. And I personally have found that to be so helpful and comforting in my grief when, especially in the beginning, you're like, what do I do? And it's like, you do this. This is what you do. It's
There are
very nice.
steps. There are guidelines to help you through a time where you feel like you literally are, you're like, I'm seeing everything I need to like tunnel vision to get back
For sure.
out.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Just because we have like, a little bit of time, how was your wedding?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, it looked amazing. Your picture's phenomenal.
Thank
But
you.
I kept thinking about you being like, I don't know how she's
Okay.
doing this.
I don't know if you'll like the answer, but I will tell you. Okay, so my wedding was very, very hard for me because I loved my wedding. You know, it was a really great day and it was beautiful, and I'm so happy with how it came out. But as since this is a grieving podcast, it was very hard, and I expected it to be hard. But it was more hard, like, okay, leading up to it. You know, my fiance at the time was fighting in Israel in the war, and so he was there. So I was planning the wedding on my own, obviously. There was the war going on. There were so many of our loved ones that were away, and we didn't know what was happening. Obviously, my parents were dead. So there was like a lot of emotions. And I planned the wedding in 8 weeks, and I was moving, and I was quitting my job right after my wedding. I moved to Florida, so there was a lot. As I was planning the wedding, I was planning my apartment, and I was packing, and there was like just so much stress. And I was really worried about how I would get to the wedding and be present and like mindful, because I really wanted to be present. And that is something that I was so scared of. And I actually like delegated some time. Have you heard of the emotion code?
No.
Okay, you would love it, because I know you're into like the energies and the chakras.
Yeah.
It's I won't get so into it, but it's like this, there's this like theory, I guess, that there's emotions in you, and there's trapped emotions and blockages and stuff like that. And so people that practice with this code, they kind of release trapped emotions. That's the idea.
Okay.
And trapped emotions is what's causing you to have anxiety or not feel present and stuff like that. So like a few days before my wedding, I literally called my friend who does this, and I was like, you need to help me. I am so not present. I am so anxious. I'm getting married in a few days and I'm freaking out because I can't, like my mind is everywhere. And we did like two sessions together. And I think that is what got me to the place of where I was at my wedding, which was like so helpful. But Of course, it's not magic. You can't just like show up. Suddenly it's your wedding and you're like, great, I'm here, I'm cool, present, mindful, love this, bask in the beauty. Like, no,
Right.
I got to my wedding. It felt like a dream. It felt like it was not real. And I was like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And at the chuppah, which is, do you know what a chuppah is? It's like that.
The overhang, right?
Yeah, it's like the thing
Yeah.
that you get, that's where you get married. That's where, like, I guess it's in the church you would get married there. So it's like, I don't know, you get married under the chuppah, basically.
Yeah.
So the rabbi, there's you, there's your husband, there's the witnesses, and if you had parents, there would be probably parents. And there's this Jewish idea that your everyone that's kind of like died is like with you. So like your parents, your grandparents, and your grand-grandparents, and like they're with you. But it's not like an idea. Like they say, this is what happens. They are literally with you in that moment. And it's the most important, moment of your life. Because you're about to get married. And I remember standing there and I was like, mommy, mommy. Like I just didn't know what to do. Cause I was like,
Yeah.
I wanna be present and I wanna feel their energies. And I couldn't stop thinking, like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I wasn't present. I couldn't do it. Like I just couldn't.
Yeah.
And that's why I said I don't think you'll like that answer. Cause like it honestly, I don't think it's something that you can just turn, like, snap your fingers and there you are. You're perfect. And you're connected to your dead parents. No, like it was really hard. I was standing there. I wish they were with me. Obviously they didn't walk me down. That was really hard. But I'm very thankful I had my sister walk me down and I was with my mother-in-law and my husband, his father as well passed away. So there was actually a lot of my family members that weren't there, and that was hard. Like I was doing so well when like there's this one part where my father would walk, let's say my husband down the aisle to like meet me, and then he would bless me, like my father would bless me, and at that point my brother-in-law blessed me, and I just burst out crying. It was so hard. It was so hard. I that was like that's what fathers do. Like your father blesses. He gives you away, like that. So I immediately like that was what got me. That is like I wasn't emotional because I was like waiting for that emotional moment. And
Right.
that hit me like when my brother-in-law like, puts his hands out to bless my head and I'm sitting there like, where the hell is my dad?
Right.
And then my husband comes to me and he like makes some joke like, and I start laughing. Like,
You're
and
like,
there's
thank you so
a photo.
much for breaking that tension.
No, there's literally a photo of me like laughing and he's like smiling with his like hands over me because he's like blessing me and I'm laughing and I'm like, it was such a crazy moment of like my father wasn't there and I was, sobbing and then my husband was there and blessing me and I immediately like switched, like, and so after that, I really wasn't emotional. Like after that moment, I wasn't. And like under the chuppah, I honestly like my feet were killing me. I was wearing heels for like 7 hours at that point. My brother was giving a speech and he was like, let's all take a breath. I was like, shut up. I need to get these heels off. And like, I need to get out. Like, stop. Like, it was like the longest like ceremony,
Yeah.
Like, get me out of here.
I honestly think it's not a bad thing. I think that that's actually like for me, I'm like, okay, that's comforting to be like, okay, but you only felt in that whole day, even though like it was very clear to you that they were not there, it's clear to you every day that they're not here,
Yeah.
that you only really had that
It was
one
one,
moment where
yeah,
you
it
were like, oh,
was
I'm
one
gonna
moment.
lose it.
Literally, it was one moment. And then after that, I partied so hard. It was the funnest day. It was so much fun. But like, yeah, after that, it wasn't like, oh, my parents aren't here dancing with me. I was just dancing with my friends and my husband and my, and it was just this one big party. And like, I planned every detail start to finish. So like, I was appreciating everything that like worked out or that didn't work out because I was meant to have an open wedding and then it started pouring. So we had tents, but there was a lot. Oh, and it was crazy. My wedding planner, like literally 3 days before my wedding, calls me and she's like, I'm not going to make it to your wedding because my father's dying. And like my first reaction, like people, when I tell them this, they're like, what is wrong with you? But, like maybe you'll, I don't know. I was like, are you sure? I wanted to be like, wait, because like my father was dying for 2 weeks. So he had time, I'm like, I didn't say this. Of course I didn't. I said, I'm so sorry. And, I wish you all the best, whatever. But in my head, I was like, but is he dying tomorrow? Because sometimes it takes time.
You're
I
like,
was
what's the
freaking out.
timeline?
Yeah, in my head, I'm like, what? Because like she was like the day of like coordinator and like she was like,
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it's thunderstorming in my outdoor wedding. You're not gonna be there. My parents aren't there. My husband's still, you know, in Israel. Like, what's happening? Like, I had like a little meltdown. I went into my room and my sisters were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I go into the room and they were like scared. They're like, what's happening? And I just start like screaming. And then I came out and I'm like, I'm good
Okay, we're fine. We're fine.
now.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to still have
Yeah, it was, yeah.
happiness on the
Yeah.
day, because I was thinking about you the whole time, being like, oh my
Oh.
God. Like, that just, I'm not married. Will I ever get married? Who knows? But I just feel like right now I'd be a train wreck the whole day.
Won't be. You won't be the whole day. You're gonna be so exhilarated. There is like so much just emotion and like happiness, and it doesn't, whoever's not married out there, don't worry. It does not overcome the happiness of your day. But I will say, like, I am so relieved. I had the 30 seconds that I was sobbing because I really needed that release before the rest of the partying started. So I will say, like, try your best to cry a little and then go and get drunk and get married.
And get married.
And have fun.
Beautiful.
It was
Well, I'm very happy for you.
fun.
I feel like you had a lot of change happen in this last year, but it seems like it's all good change, so that's great.
Yeah, thank
You
God.
know?
We're getting there. We're just moving along.
Well, that's all we can do at the end of the day. One foot in front of the other.
Exactly.
Before we sign off,
Yes.
I want you to plug the Mending Word. I
Oh
would
my God.
love for you to share with the people. I
Yes.
put this in a Facebook group. There's like a Philly Facebook book group, and someone was like, my friend's mom has like, she's dying of cancer and she's not really talking and she doesn't want to really see anybody and whatever. And I plugged you in the Philly group because I was just like, there, sometimes people can't find their voice right away. So
Yeah.
like writing for me was absolutely the first place to me like starting to process.
And look at you now.
Now I'm just talking, I won't shut
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
up. But it was so helpful, and I would love for you to share for all the people out there who might want to write or write with you, and kind of just plug your biz, girl.
You got it. Okay, Mending Word. It's called the Mending Word. Back in the day, I think it was called like the Grieving Heart Project or something when you joined. I don't know. It was so long
It
ago.
was.
Yeah, it was a while. It went through a lot of transitions, but essentially, you know, I created it, I think, in 2022, maybe. So I was gonna start it in 2021, and the first session was gonna be like literally a week before my dad died, and then my dad died, and there was like a little break in between. And I was like, you know what, forget this. And then my friend was like, no, start it, start it. And so I started it a few months after. So I think it was like in 2022. So yeah, it's almost 3 years, which is insane, but it's almost like 3 years old. And it's basically a grief writing group that I started after my parents died because I love to write. It's how I process my grief. It's how I honestly do anything. I'm not a good speaker. Like, I'm horrible just like speaking. I'll like blab and like stutter. I need to like write before I do anything. And so I wanted to have a group that would kind of guide me with different writing prompts because honestly, I'm horrible at journaling. And if you're horrible at journaling, that's okay. Don't worry. This is not a journaling group. Like, I honestly do not journal. Like, journaling is hard for me. But it's basically like a writing group where there are guided writing prompts. Each prompt talks about a different kind of avenue of your grief. So there's talking about the relationship with you and the person you lost. There's talking about the worst parts of the loss, the most traumatic parts. There's talking to people that, you know, since you've lost someone, your friends, your partners, your siblings, your parents, like, how are you dealing with them now that you've lost this person? So there's a lot of different like layers, I would say, and avenues of the loss. And the way it's structured now is it's 3 months, and it's basically every 2 weeks. There is a input a live virtual session over Google Meet for about an hour and 15 minutes, and we meet over Google Meet, which is like Zoom. I provide the writing prompts. We go over the prompts. Everybody writes for about 20 minutes. And then during the writing time, you can like close your mic and close your camera, very private. And then you come back on and everyone kind of shares their writings. Never gonna like force you to share your writing. People just do because you end up feeling comfortable and you wanna like hear others write. And so you'll talk about yours. And it turns into this kind of like impromptu grief discussion about anything and everything with grief. And then on the weeks in between that we meet, I started doing this thing where I give an additional prompt. So you receive, I think, 11 prompts in total over 3 months, but six of the sessions are like virtual and we meet. And there's groups for parent, child, sibling loss. There's a group for spousal loss. There's a group for suicide loss. And all the groups are the same. The difference is the people in the groups. So you'll be with people that have lost parents or children or siblings, et cetera. And it's just a way to form like actual connections and actually meet people that, are real, me and you. They want to talk, they want to listen, they want to hold your grief. They're out there, they want the connection, and they want to hear your voice. And that's really what it is. And I'm just trying to build this small little writing community where you can show up on a random Monday night and be like, hey, my day sucked. This is what happened. This is the grief and blah, blah, blah. And then you can write about it in like a formatted structure. And yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you.
I loved it. I love it.
Thank you.
So if you're somebody out there being like, huh, maybe I could write instead of like talking about it. Honestly, I probably should have gone right to therapy, but because of the writing group, I like did it, and I think it gave me a second. You know what I mean? Like, I think it gave me a second to like write and cry because I just couldn't even form words. I still sometimes cannot when I'm like actually like grounded in my space. But
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, follow me at The Mending Word on
Yeah,
Insta,
thank
right?
you.
For sure. And thanks for, chatting about your grief and talking about your holidays.
So fun.
And yeah, I mean, here at the Gravy Girl, we try to like laugh and cry all at the same time.
I
So
love it.
even though you're not sitting on my couch, the
I
couch is
feel like
here.
I am.
Yeah. I am sitting on my floor because I don't own a desk or a table.
That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, no kitchen table, no desk, just me
Okay.
on my floor, but it's fine.
Authentic. It's
That's
cutesy.
it. All right, Queen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And
Thank you,
everybody
everyone.
listening, watching it, watching. That is watching and listening together, watching. We'll catch you in the next episode. Happy holiday season. If it's,
Halloween.
yeah, ha and happy Halloween
Good luck out
tomorrow.
there. Good luck with the holidays. You got this. Thank you for listening, but just remember to lean into your grief and give it the space and just do what works for you. That's really all that matters.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.